Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Saturday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am so grateful for you guys being here today. Appreciate it a ton. We've got a really, really, really fun episode for you today. I'm going to be going over my final grades for everything on the season and much more than that. It's not just a grade in the numbers and things like that. It's also the players who got better or worse, the highest graded players, the lowest graded players, the highest graded players on a per play basis, the worst graded players on a per play basis, which players improved the most year over year, which ones downgraded the most year over year. The position groups, did they get better? Did they get worse? We're going to go through a ton of different stuff. This is my eighth year that I've completed grading the Packers on every single play, every player, every play for eight seasons. And it's a labor of love. I absolutely love doing it. We'll get into the grading in just a moment. But this at the end of the season is always a chance for me, quite frankly, to finally get the opportunity to go through and look at, all right, I've put all these numbers together through the course of the year. I've jotted down all these grades, and now I can sort of tabulate them all together and see what does it kind of mean? Who got better? Who got worse? All those sort of things. So we're going to go through all of that today. I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I do. Before we get there, a couple quick news notes, things like that. First of all, I have to give a shout out to Matthias Buchholz. Thank you so much for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day podcast member. If you have not checked out memberships over on YouTube yet, make sure to do so. Member Q&As, we'll get some bonus content out there sooner rather than later. But really appreciate you guys who are signed up. And if you haven't yet, again, make sure to check it out. Otherwise, like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews, tell a friend about the show. Those are great ways to support the podcast as well. Meanwhile, from Rob Domofsky, he reported on Friday that Luke Getsy will be on Matt LaFleur's staff in some capacity this season. That's all we know at this point. Now, if you remember, Luke Getsy did come in as a consultant for the defensive side of the ball at some point this past season. And it was sort of, I don't want to say assumed, but I think everyone kind of had this feeling of like, he's probably just going to stick around. And that quarterback coach job is potentially screaming out at him, right? My guess is that's probably what it is that he's going to be the quarterbacks coach in Green Bay with Tom Clements retiring, and that's going to be his gig. But I don't know that for sure. Rob Domofsky, you know, floated a potential other name out there, and Bobby Slowick, who has some ties to LaFleur, and of course his dad worked in Green Bay. He's worked in Green Bay. So maybe that could be somebody that comes to Green Bay in some sort of capacity. Maybe he gets quarterbacks coach and Getsy does something else. Either way, Matt has a ton of options. But the big news here is that Luke Getsy will return in some capacity. Now, I've seen this reacted to in a couple different ways, and people are saying, well, why would they want Luke Getsy? He went out to Chicago, and he failed in Chicago, and he went out to the Raiders, and he failed with the Raiders. Why do you want to bring him back to your organization? Well, I don't know if this is, you know, the Peter principle or whatever we want to call it, but sometimes you fail up to the level of your own incompetence, and what that means is, once you continue to promote until you finally get to a job that you've been promoted to that you're destined to fail at. And for Luke Getsy, maybe that's just offensive coordinator. By all accounts, when he was quarterbacks coach, passing game coordinator, when he was throwing ideas past Matt LaFleur, he was great at his job. When he got to be an offensive coordinator with Chicago and with Vegas, it did not go so great. All I know is that if he's given the job that he was good at in Green Bay, cool. He was good at it before. I'll assume that he's going to be good at it again. If they were promoting him to offensive coordinator in Green Bay, I might have some questions because he does have two failed stints in the NFL at this point. That would be more of a question to me. But if I were some NFL team, and especially Matt LaFleur, who worked with him in that role, and that's what they want to bring him back as, I have no issue with it. Seems to make sense for me. And I'm sure that they talked to Jordan, just like they talked to Aaron when they brought back Tom Clements. I'm sure they talked to Jordan as well and said, you know, this be somebody that you would like working with. And if that's the case, and he's like, yeah, then perfect. So whatever it is, if that is in fact what it ends up being, that Getsy is the quarterback coach, no problem with that. But again, per Rob Domofsky, he will be back on the rosters or on the coaching roster in some capacity. Meanwhile, last but not least here, the Bears continue to bolster their new coaching staff. I'm going to give them credit. It hurts. It really hurts. These three hires, I think, are phenomenal. This is how Detroit went about building their coaching staff. And well, two of them are former Detroit Lions coaches. So they are stealing from Detroit, which is a good thing at the same time. But I like all three of these coaches, and they have a ton of respect around the league. Al Harris, former Green Bay Packer, of course, former Cowboys coach. He is going to be their defensive backs coach and passing game coordinator. JT Barrett, former Ohio State quarterback. Again, somebody that's consistently thought of as a future star as a coach in the league. They get him as their quarterbacks coach. And then Antoine Randall, the former Steelers wide receiver, and then the Lions wide receivers coach, gets the job in Chicago as not only wide receiver coach, but assistant head coach as well. So three really good hires for the Bears, if I'm being honest. Like I said, pains me to say it, but those are all three good hires. But the good news here, JT Barrett, who was the assistant quarterbacks coach, I believe, in Detroit, they take him away from Detroit, and then they take Antoine Rendell away from Detroit as well. So there's some good news that kind of goes alongside of that a little bit. With that, let's get to our grades for the season and all the stuff that I put together for this. I want to just take a quick moment to explain the grades. First of all, you can find all of this over on PackerReport.com. The entire grades for the year, this is not behind a paywall. This one is free at the end of the year. You can see every single one of my grades for every single player throughout the entirety of the year. And at the bottom of that, again, PackerReport.com, my end of the year grades, you will see the little blurb on how I go about grading players. But just a little note on this, and I say this at the beginning of the year when I do grades, I say it at the end of the year, I say it during the year, and some of you will be sick of hearing it, but I want to be crystal clear on this. The grades are not the be-all, end-all. They are not perfect, and there is always going to be inaccuracies and errors and maybe things that I got wrong along the way. I'm sure there were, I guarantee you there are things that I got wrong along the way. That's just the nature of the beast. How this all started, and again, I've been doing it for 8 years now. How this all started is when I decided I was going to do something with the Packers, I had done a couple smaller things, a couple smaller blogs and things like that. I decided to go to Cheesehead TV, and I decided I was going to do something that was going to be different and noteworthy and try to set myself apart, quite frankly. And yes, PFF did grades, but you don't really know who's doing the grades or what, like it wasn't somebody Packer specific. I wanted to be the person who was going to go and grade every single player and every single play. And the number didn't even really have a huge factor into that. What I mean by that is I wanted to be able to speak educatedly on the Packers and having a different viewpoint of it, because I knew I went back and I watched the all 22 tape and I watched every single player and every single play. And here's the thing. I don't know where you are at in your football journey. You might be a complete novice. You might be new to the game. You might know 10 times more than I do. Whatever the case may be, or you're probably somewhere in between, right? Wherever that is, I don't care where you are on that spectrum. If you would go out and watch every single player on every single play through the course of a season, you're going to pick up on some stuff, period, end of story. Like you are going to see some trends. You're going to see some players who are playing well. You're going to see some players that are not playing well. And you're probably going to be able to regurgitate some information to people. And for me, that's what I really wanted. That was my initial goal. I kept track of the grades as a sort of, you know, nice to have and can kind of track it over time. And then there was an appetite for it. So I started posting them. But I want to be crystal clear. I can only grade what I know on the play. Sometimes there are plays where it'll be a touchdown for the opposing team. And I look at it and I say, I cannot make a discernible note of who is at fault on that play. I think I might know, but I can't know 100% for sure. I'm not downgrading a player if I don't know 100% for sure that it is their issue. All right. And same, like vice versa. There can be sometimes a play that goes unnoticed because we don't see or we don't have the nuance. Or for example, like the Randall Cobb play, right? His first touchdown in the NFL, his first receiving touchdown in the NFL, he catches the pass and it's wide open in the middle of the field and then accelerates and it's a huge touchdown. It's like a 40, 50 yard touchdown, something like that. You look at that play on tape, looks awesome. We learn later in the week that he actually ran the wrong route on the play. It's not where he was even remotely supposed to be. Well, it worked out great, But, you know, in his coaches and everything, they're going to go through and be like, this is a negative because you ran the wrong route. The result is great. The process was not good. There's certain things like that, that again, I'm not going to be able to tell. I can't just tell it, you know, for sure when I'm watching the tape. So what I'm watching is when there's a receiver in a corner going one-on-one and it's a jump ball, how do the corner and receiver react to that? Right. Those sort of things. When there's an offensive tackle and a defensive end going one-on-one, you know, who's going to win that battle? Who loses that battle? Or is it a stalemate? A quarterback, is the ball accurate? Is it on time? Is it in rhythm? Is it all those? Those are the things that I'm looking at and I'm grading accordingly. But again, it's not perfect. It's never going to be, but it's going to be the most comprehensive, you know, grade that you're going to get on any player. And I put a ton of time, effort, and energy into it. And it's certainly something that I'm very proud of every single year. So that's the grades. Again, if you want the explanation of how I go about doing it, you can check it out over on PackerReport.com. And the one other thing that I will note here is I do not grade special teams. So this is just offensive and defensive grades. You will not hear anything about a special teams grade. And if, you know, if it, like a big fumble on special teams or whatever, that will not be included in the grade. It's just offense and defense only. All right, so let's get to it right away. Some of these are going to be easy. Some of these I'm going to explain in a little bit more detail. But the MVP of the season, Josh Jacobs, plus 12.85 grade. He was easily my highest graded player on the season. I don't think that that is a hot take. I think, you know, certainly it would be probably between Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. I had a higher grade on Jacobs than I did with McKinney. If you wanted to give it to McKinney in that situation, you know, still no problem with that whatsoever. But those would be the two that you would nominate. And in this case, Jacobs' grade was actually significantly higher than Xavier McKinney in this instance. Well, that was a really fun weekend of football. And while I'm definitely bummed out that the season is coming to an end, we've got two more epic games this weekend and still plenty of time to do some winning on Prize Picks. And the best way to get in on the action on Conference Championship Sunday is with Prize Picks, where you can win up to 1,000 times your money. And it's no wonder that Prize Picks is the best place to get real money action while watching the playoffs. Prize Picks offers a variety of weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts. And don't forget that there are plenty of other sports available to play as well. And it's never a bad time to get in on all the basketball action. And I think I'm going to be keeping an eye out for some Giannis options this week. This Sunday, however, I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels and Saquon Barkley to put on an epic show in Philly while Josh Allen finally puts his team over the top and gets Buffalo into Super Bowl Sunday. If you're ready to start winning, then download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup by using code PACKADAY. What are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. My offensive player of the year, of course, would be Josh Jacobs because he was the MVP and he just so happens to play offense. But I did offensive player of the year, non-Josh Jacobs version, and that was Jaden Reed. And I think this is really noteworthy. We're going to talk about Jaden Reed in another category as well. I think people forget just how good Jaden Reed was at the beginning of the season. And the drops were an issue. And there were some games where he disappeared, right? But in a lot of those games, it wasn't like he was disappearing because of things that he was doing negatively. It wasn't that he wasn't necessarily getting open. It was just, a lot of times there was just kind of lack of chances. The ball wasn't necessarily coming his way a ton, and he just didn't get those opportunities. When given opportunities, other than the drops that he did have that he clearly needs to clean up, 10 drops on the season per PFF, that's something that needs to clean up. Like, he was still dynamic, great with the ball in his hands. And if you remember early back in the season, right, where Zach Cruz was talking about the three psychos on this team, Tucker Kraft, Josh Jacobs, and Jaden Reed, like, he was cooking at a very high level. And then it just kind of plateaued a little bit. And then we saw a little bit of it come back at the end of the season. But overall, on the whole, Jaden Reed was still a really good player for the team. It ended kind of like the Packers offense did as a whole, a little bit, you know, on a lull. And we didn't see those high highs that we saw earlier in the season. But still, if we're taking everything into account from week one through the wild card weekend, Jaden Reed, second highest graded player on offense with a plus 8.75 grade. Defensive player of the year, no question whatsoever, Xavier McKinney, plus 6.6 grade, and he was phenomenal. All the interceptions, all the really good defense, good tackling, good locker room guy, although that doesn't go into the grade. But Xavier McKinney, certainly worthy of being that defensive player of the year. Rookie of the year, another easy one here, Edgerrin Cooper, plus 4.75 grade. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Edgerrin Cooper played, I'm going to say 400 or 500 snaps, probably almost like half of what Xavier McKinney did. And Edgerrin Cooper had a plus 4.75 grade as a rookie. and even some of those early games barely played. Xavier McKinney was at a plus 6.6 with all those interceptions and his stellar play on defense. Just gives you an idea as a rookie of the impact that Edgerrin Cooper had. And if he gets a full season and continues to play like he did at the end of this last year, what he could theoretically be as a big time player in this defense. There's a real world in which he is probably the likely favorite to be my highest graded player on defense if he can stay healthy next season. He looks like a stud. The grade is huge for a rookie, especially at linebacker, plus 4.75, and very clearly the rookie of the year for this Packers team. Most improved player is an interesting one. Usually I put a limit on the amount of snaps, but in this case I didn't. This was the highest improvement for a grade. He barely played last year, so which is why I almost kept him off of this, but I'm still giving it to Emmanuel Wilson. Again, somebody who barely played a season ago, less than 100 snaps. This year gets in a little bit more, plus 3.55 for most improved player for Emmanuel Wilson. A really big improvement for him and deserving of this. We'll talk about all the players that improved this year, or at least the top ones, but the most improved player for me, Emmanuel Wilson. Largest decline, Jordan Love. Negative nine, he went down 9.7 points. So Emmanuel Wilson went up 3.55 points. Jordan Love went down 9.7 points from 2023 to 2024. Very clearly my biggest drop from 2023 to 2024. Now, part of that is missing games, right? He misses a few games in there, misses half of the Bears game, misses half of the Jaguars game, misses the Titans game, misses the Colts game. I mean, basically at three full, if you're putting it all together, basically like three full games that he missed, where that if he had good games in those and against those opponents, you would think it would usually be pretty good at least. You know, he could have easily been closer. I don't know how much he would have closed that gap, but it could have been closer, right? And then, of course, the injuries played a part too. There were some games that he looked nothing like himself and he did not grade well. And then there were some games at the end of the year where he looked like himself and he also did not grade well. And we don't need to hash this one out too far because we know what the questions are. Why was it that he didn't perform quite as well? Was it the wide receivers? Was it the scheme? Was it the injuries? Was it defenses trying to play him something different? Was it some of the issues from Jordan Love himself, the accuracy, the footwork, the timing, things like that? I think there's truth probably to all of it, but I think all of it plays a factor. And from a Love standpoint, whatever it was, it ended up being and not as impressive as a season on the whole as what 2023 was, especially in that second half of the season. So the largest decline, Jordan Love, went down 9.7 points from where he was in 2013. My highest graded offensive players, as we talked about, Josh Jacobs, number one at 12.85, Jaden Reed at number two at 8.75. Jordan Love was still at number three with a plus 7.00. Tucker Kraft at number four with a plus 5.55. And Zach Tom at number five with a 5.25 grade. So top five, Jacobs, Reed, Love, Kraft, and Tom. My five highest graded defensive players, Xavier McKinney with a plus 6.60, Edgerrin Cooper with a plus 4.75, Rashawn Gary with a plus 2.10, Evan Williams with a 1.80 grade, and Devontae Wyatt with a plus 1.50 grade. So top five on defense, Xavier McKinney, Edgerrin Cooper, Rashawn Gary, Evan Williams, and Devontae Wyatt. All right, top graded players by position, minimum 175 snaps. Quarterback, Jordan Love. Running back, Josh Jacobs. Wide receiver, Jaden Reed. Tight end, Tucker Kraft. Offensive lineman, Zach Tom. Defensive lineman, Devontae Wyatt. Edge rusher, Rashawn Gary. Linebacker, Edgerrin Cooper. Corner, Jaire Alexander, even in the smattering of plays that he had, this small amount, he still was the highest graded corner, plus 0.75, nothing crazy. And then my highest graded safety was Xavier McKinney with a plus 6.60 grade. So Love, Jacobs, Reed, Kraft, Tom, Wyatt, Gary, Cooper, Alexander, and McKinney, the highest graded players at each position, respectively. All right, my lowest graded offensive players, Josh Myers, negative 2.7, Rashid Walker, negative 1.6, Travis Glover, negative 1.15, Jordan Morgan, negative 0.65, and Kadeem Telfort, negative 0.45. Notice a little bit of a trend there. All of them offensive linemen. I mean, Telfort, Morgan, and Glover really didn't play that much. And I'll be totally honest, Myers, negative 2.7, and Walker's negative 1.6, really not that bad. If those are your two lowest grades, that's a really, really good sign. A really, really good sign. And the fact that Telfort, Morgan, and Glover are your next three and they barely played, that's a very, very good sign as well. So overall, not a ton of negatives, but Walker and Myers, or Myers and Walker, I should say, led the way. Lowest graded players on defense, Eric Stokes, negative 3.75. My lowest graded player on the year happened to be Stokes as well. Quay Walker, negative 2.2. Preston Smith, negative 2.05. Kingsley Nigbare, negative 1.85. And Lucas Van Ness, negative 1.05. My highest graded individual games on offense, Jordan Love in week six against the Cardinals with a plus 3.0 grade. He was 22 of 32, 258 yards, four touchdowns, and an interception in that game. Jaden Reed in week one was my second highest with a plus 2.7 grade, four for 138 and a touchdown, one rush for 33 yards and a touchdown, and then also had that free play for a touchdown where he made a great play on that, but unfortunately it was called back. He was phenomenal in that game. Jordan Love in week 14 with a plus 1.80 grade against the Lions, 12 of 20, 206 yards, a touchdown, four carries for 23 yards. Josh Jacobs in week 12, plus 1.6 grade against the 49ers, 26 carries, 106 yards, and three touchdowns in that game for Jacobs. And then Jordan Love in week 13, plus 1.5 grade against the Dolphins, 21 of 28, 274 yards, two touchdowns, and no interceptions. Highest graded individual grades or games on defense, I should say. Edgerrin Cooper, plus 1.4 in week 15 against the Seahawks. Seven tackles, a sack, two tackles for loss, two PDFs, two quarterback hits, an interception, and a partridge in a pear tree. Huge game for Cooper against Seattle. Number two was Kingsley Nigbare against the Titans in week three with a 1.3 grade. Three tackles, one and a half sacks, a tackle for loss, two quarterback hits, and that big force fumble. Huge game from him. Eric Wilson in week two against the Colts. On the box score, one tackle, one PDF, one interception. Remember, he had that big fourth down stop, though, and then a tackle for loss, if I remember correctly, and then also had that key interception. So he barely played in that game. I think it was only like 10 snaps, but absolutely tore it up in the 10 snaps that he was in. Jaire Alexander in week three, 1.2 grade, Titans game, five tackles, pick six was the big one there for Jaire. And then Xavier McKinney in week four against the Vikings, plus 1.1 grade, four tackles, a pass defense, and an interception for Xavier McKinney in that game. My lowest graded individual games on offense, Jordan Love in the wild card game with a negative 1.6 grade, Travis Glover in the wild card game with a negative 1.15 grade, Josh Myers in week 17 with a negative 1.15 grade, Rashid Walker in week eight with a negative 1.05 grade, and Jordan Love in week five with a negative 0.95 grade. Lowest graded individual games on defense, Carrington Valentine in the wild card round was the lowest with a negative 1.3, followed by Kingsley Nigbare in week 11, Kenny Clark in week one, Quay Walker in week two, and Eric Stokes in week four. Highest graded offensive players on a per snap basis. So this is important. So there's always two ways to look at this. The one is just like, what was the overall impact that they had? Regardless of how many snaps they played, was their impact plus, minus, what did it show out? And then like the other way to look at it is, all right, this is how much impact this player made, but he only played a minuscule amount of snaps. And then this is a big impact by this player, but he played every snap known to man. So it can be a little bit different. So these had to have a minimum of 175 snaps. My highest graded players on offense on a per snap basis, Josh Jacobs was still number one, it's positive, first of all, but it doesn't matter what the numbers are. You can check them out over on PackerReport.com. After all the holiday hustle and bustle and spending on about 100 things that you didn't expect to spend money on, the start of the new year can feel like a hangover for your credit. And with the holidays over, it's time to start setting those credit goals for 2025, and it's time to start using Kickoff. Now, my experience personally with Kickoff has been incredible. I found Kickoff online, and I immediately started seeing positive changes in my credit. It was so easy to get set up and get started, and I was immediately impressed by how seamless the entire process was. Now, Kickoff is a credit line that's just set up distinctly for credit building. It's super simple. You make one-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows fast. And if your credit's under 600, you could jump like 28 points in your first month. And the best part is that you can start building credit immediately for only $1 for your first month. And when you sign up, you'll quickly find out, like I did, why Kickoff is the number one credit building app with over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store. So shake off your credit hangover and look forward to better credit with Kickoff. Get your first month for just $1 at getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's 80% off Kickoff. Without the C, get kickoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new customers first month only. Subject to approval. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions may apply. Point stat based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0 changes for kickoff users starting under 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Individual results may vary. My highest was Josh Jacobs. Number two, Malik Willis. Malik Willis was my second highest graded offensive player on a per play basis. Start your hot take engines, everyone. Get them going. Malik Willis is the future. Trade Jordan Love, cut him. Just remember, Malik Willis had some very beautiful training wheels against two very bad defenses in his two primary weeks. Also a bad defense in Jacksonville as well. Nothing taken away from Malik Willis. Three really good performances in those three games in particular and deserves a lot of credit. So awesome for him. No, there's no quarterback controversy here. But Malik Willis was number two. Emmanuel Wilson was number three. Jaden Reed was number four. And Chris Brooks was number five. So Jacobs, Wilson, and Brooks, three running backs, all make the list along with Malik Willis and Jaden Reed. Highest graded defensive players on a per snap basis, Edgerrin Cooper, easily number one. Xavier McKinney, number two. Devontae Wyatt actually was number three, graded pretty well and didn't get to play a ton of snaps due to some injuries. Evan Williams was number four and Rashawn Gary was number five. So highest graded players again on offense on a per play basis, Jacobs, Willis, Wilson, Reed, and Brooks. And on defense, Cooper, McKinney, Wyatt, Williams, and Gary. Lowest graded players on offense on a per snap basis. I will want to preface this by saying this is a very small sample size for the first player, but it was actually Jordan Morgan who had the lowest offensive grade on a per play basis on a very, very small sample size, followed by Josh Myers, Rashid Walker, Malik Heath, and then those are the only four players that graded either neutral or negative. Malik Heath was neutral, exactly. Lowest graded players on defense on a per snap basis, again, minimum 175 snaps. Preston Smith, actually my lowest graded Packer on defense on a per snap basis. It's part of the reason they got rid of him. Eric Stokes was second. Kingsley Nigbari was third. Colby Wooden was fourth. And Quay Walker was fifth. Highest graded games of total offense. Week six against the Cardinals was number one. Week four against the Vikings was number two. And week 16 against the Saints was number three. Those are my highest graded total games on offense. Highest graded total games on defense. Seahawks in week 15, Titans in week three, and then Saints in week 16. Lowest graded games on offense. Wildcard game against the Eagles was easily my lowest graded game on offense, followed by the Vikings game in week four, and then the Eagles game the Eagles game and the wild card was the lowest graded, then the Vikings, then the Jaguars game. Sorry about that. So Jaguars was neutral. Vikings was negative 0.45. Eagles was negative 5.35. Lowest graded games, total defense. Week 11 against the Bears was the worst, followed by the Vikings in week four. And then the wild card game against the Eagles was the third worst performance by the defense this year. Total offensive grade in 2024 was a plus 58.0. Total defensive grade was a plus 9.7. That did improve upon their 2023 overall grade. Most games graded in the positive. Josh Jacobs graded in the positive in 17 games. Tucker Kraft and Emmanuel Wilson with 15. Jaden Reed and Zach Tom with 14. Xavier McKinney with 13. And Elton Jenkins with 13. Most games graded in the negative. Kingsley Nigbari had the most with 11. 11 of his games were graded in the negative, followed by Eric Stokes, TJ Slayton, and Josh Myers with 10, and Quay Walker and Colby Wooden with 9. Most improved players, both in 2023 and in 2024, they have to have a minimum of 175 snaps. In both instances, Jaden Reed was number one, followed by Sean Ryan, Keyshawn Nixon, Christian Watson, and Isaiah McDuffie. The biggest decline from 2023 to 2024, we talked about number one in Jordan Love. Dontavian Wicks was number two. Kenny Clark was number three. Preston Smith was number four. And Romeo Dobbs was number five. Here's how the position groups fared year over year from 2023 to 2024. The quarterback position went down 6.6 overall points or grading points. That is a lot. So a big decline from the quarterback position. Running back saw a plus 11.85 grade. So a huge improvement there. Wide receiver had a negative 5.3 decline. So they went down 5.3 points from 23.95 to 18.65, a big decline for the wide receivers. Tight ends mostly stayed the same, plus 1.3 on the season for the tight ends. The offensive line took a significant jump, went up 12.15 points this past year. That's in large part due to John Runyon Jr., Yosh Nijman, and those sort of players being gone. And then, you know, I thought Myers and Walker were just a little bit better this year. And then you had almost identical grades for Zach Tom and Elton Jenkins too. Defensive line went down 3.55 points. Edge rusher went down 4.7 points. Linebacker went up 9.8 points. Corner went up 2.5 points. And then the biggest one, safety, went up 16.05 points. We talked about in the offseason of how the safety room could have been the biggest glow up in the entire NFL. It was very much close to that, if not number one. There's probably a quarterback room that improved better somewhere, but outside of that, probably Green Bay safety room. Green Bay's 2024 draft class ended with a plus 5.9 grade, in large part due to Edgerrin Cooper, and then Evan Williams certainly helped that as well. Javon Bullard helped it a little bit also, but a plus 5.9 grade for the rookie class. Their four offseason acquisitions, Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney, Malik Willis, and Andre Dillard, plus 22.5 grade in total from their big four, or I guess big two additions, and then also Malik Willis and Andre Dillard. Their 2025 unrestricted free agents, A.J. Dillon, Tyler Davis, did not play. Andre Dillard, Josh Myers, T.J. Slayton, Eric Wilson, Isaiah McDuffie, Robert Rochelle, Corey Ballantyne, and Eric Stokes combined for a negative 5.2 grade, negative 5.2. So their losses might just be addition by subtraction. We will see. It depends on who gets their spots and if they can play better, but it could very well be addition by subtraction for Green Bay with the players that do potentially leave in unrestricted free agency this offseason. All right, friends, that is going to do it for me today. If you want to check out all the grades again, check them out over on PackerReport.com. Love putting these together. I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as I did. I'll be right back here tomorrow with an all new episode. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All Pro members. Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Love and Football, Dylan Pat Scott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Allison Tuckwab, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, and Ian Ewing. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.